when was the last time that we said to someone, hurry up? Well, for some of us, that may have been as early as a couple hours ago. It may have been this morning. There are times in life when we want to express the ideas of haste, zeal, and eagerness. And those things bring us to our study this morning based on 2 Peter chapter 1. You may remember that in 2 Peter 1, Peter has some information that has typically been described as the Christian graces. As he begins to list these qualities, he prefaces the list with this statement in verse 5. He says, give all diligence. And after making that statement, then Peter goes on and talks about what people need to be diligent about in their lives. This morning, though, before we begin this list to study it, we want to concentrate on the word that's translated diligence. This is an interesting word. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. And if you have one of the outlines that was made available this morning, several of those passages are on that sheet. The word translated diligence first occurs in the book of Mark, Mark 6, verse 25, and most of us are familiar with what is described in that chapter. In Mark 6, verse 21, we read that it was Herod's birthday. A supper had been made, and there were a variety of guests who came for that meal. A young woman, many believe that her name was Salome, came and danced. Herod enjoyed her performance so much that he offered her whatever she wanted, up to half the kingdom. Well, rather than respond, the Bible tells us that the lady went to talk to her mother and discuss the king's offer. And mom said she wanted the head of John the Baptist on a platter. All right, that information brings us then to Mark 6, verse 25, where we have the word that's translated diligence in 2 Peter 1. And she, that is this young lady, came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou forthwith give me on a platter the head of John the Baptist. Well, in this particular text, the word used in 2 Peter 1 is translated haste, and that is an excellent translation. The NIV, I checked that, and it says right now. The New American Standard translates the thought right away. And that is a pretty good understanding of what Peter was talking about as far as this particular sense of the word. The same sense of the term is found in Luke 1, verse 39. We'll not read that passage, but I will highlight the information that's there. Mary was told that she would bring the Son of God into the world. Well, upon receiving that information, the Bible says that she went with haste, that is, with diligence, into the city of Judea. We've all seen times in life when we used haste, certainly during this time of year, when temperatures drop below zero, and if we're not in a position where we have proper clothing on, it may be a quick dash to the mailbox or something, we use haste. This time of year, if you think back to the last week or two and you saw some people maybe in a grocery store parking lot and they were parked way out, they did not casually stroll out to the vehicle. Unless the conditions were really icy, they used haste, they used eagerness to get out to the vehicle. If we have a time and we're running behind for an appointment, we may also use haste as well. If we're injured and perhaps we are bleeding, we probably do not wait until the next day to take care of the wound. There's some things in life that need to be done right away, immediately, quickly. And when we bear these ideas in mind, we can see why Peter used this particular term. The qualities associated with 2 Peter 1 and elsewhere are not things that we are to pursue in 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, or 50 years. They're not items that we need to reserve for our retirement years, but they are qualities, they are characteristics that we need to pursue right now, today, this week, this month, and this year. Now is the acceptable time to robe ourselves in the Christian graces. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the fact that there are some things in life about which we may not be very eager. Thinking back over the last 2 decades, I have watched a lot of people go through a wide variety of medical procedures, just about everything from the head down to the toe. And it is hard for me to recall anyone during 2 decades who has said to me, I am really looking forward to my surgery. I do not believe someone has ever said to me, I just can't wait for my operation at the end of the week. That's going to be the highlight of this month for me. People never seem to say that. Enthusiasm for surgery is just not a common thing, but enthusiasm and zeal for Christian qualities, that is to be the way that we pursue that matter in our lives. As we look at Peter's word that's translated diligence, we find that it is one of those terms that is capable of having more than one meaning in the New Testament. There are some passages, and we've given a few, that have the idea of haste and diligence, that kind of thing. But the term also has some additional meanings. The second, and this is really the more predominant sense of the word, is really eagerness. That is a type of enthusiasm. The rest of the verses that we're going to cite this morning have the second sense of the term. And the next passage that we want to reference is Romans 12:8. And then after that, Romans 12, verse 11. In both of these references, the word in 2 Peter 1 is used, and both texts have the sense of eagerness. Paul talked about in Romans 12, verse 8, those who rule. And there the word rendered rule has the sense of lead. Those who are leaders, Paul was saying, need to do so with enthusiasm. They need to be people who are diligent in that. There needs to be a sense of eagerness. And if you have done any kind of leading at all, it may have been in the home or in some other capacity, you know that that is not always a lot of fun. Imagine, if you will, someone who heads a large company, a big business, a corporation, and that corporation begins to decline. In the past, the corporation had no difficulty at all paying the salary for its 50 employees, the 100 employees, the 500 employees, the 5,000 employees, or maybe the 50,000 workers that it has. But there has been some kind of downturn in their industry. Business is not going as well as it once was, and they are forced to reduce their number of employees by a significant percentage. A cut must be made. And that CEO or that leader of the corporation has to have a readiness to do it. It is not a pleasant task to cut employees. But leaders in that type of environment realize that that is a responsibility that they have, and there needs to be some diligence, eagerness, not in the sense that they're going to get great joy out of it, but there does need to be a willingness and a readiness to do what needs to be done. Some of the decisions that a mother and father will make in a home as they have children are very, very difficult. There are some decisions that mom and dad make, and typically decisions that children do not like, that are anything but fun. And God tells parents that they need to make those hard choices. In Romans 12, Paul, as he talks about these leaders or these rulers, he seems to have in mind elders in a local congregation. His charge to elders is rule with diligence. Because he uses this word that Peter also uses, the sense is you need to do that with eagerness, you need to do that with enthusiasm, you need to do that with earnestness. And we can understand what that means as we look at life. When we consider this text, we see something else. It is not always a fun task, and it's certainly not always a problem-free way to go, but that is what we find in the scriptures, and it is a quality associated with 2 Peter chapter 1. The trait in Romans 12, verse 8, though, is not limited to elders in a local congregation. In Romans 12, verse 11, three verses later, Peter applies this same term to all Christians. He says to God's people, in all diligence, or in diligence, some translations, not slothful. Well, the easiest way to understand that thought is to begin with the end of it. When Peter talks about not slothful, he's talking about a lazy person. The thought basically is no Christian has the right to be lazy when it comes to diligence. When it comes to Christianity, there is no sitting on the back pew. We never find a couch potato Christian in the New Testament. But rather, when we look at Christianity and we find the qualities that are described therein, God says, follow this way of life, do what you find in the scriptures. When we look at the Bible, we find that there is a time, 1 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews chapter 5, where God allows his people to be spiritual babies. But God also tells us that a time comes when we need to give up the bib. A time comes in our life when we trade in the bib for the apron. A time comes when we need to come to the kitchen, or if you prefer, the garage, to work. Stated another way, there is no excuse that God allows for a person to not be the kind of Christian that we find in the scriptures. And yet sometimes people say, well, yes, maybe I should be a little bit further along in my Christian life, but I really do not know enough. Well, if knowledge is a problem, and in some cases it may be, Romans 12, 11, which talks about laziness, says, do what you need to do to learn. Another person may say, well, in my particular Christian life, I simply do not have enough time. In that particular case, Romans 12, verse 11 would say that, well, no time is just another form of laziness. For a lot of people, take the time, do what you need to do, restructure some things so you can be the kind of Christian that wants you to be. Another person may say, well, I'm just too discouraged to be the kind of Christian that God wants. In Romans 12, verse 11, God is saying to his people, find ways to overcome that. Pick yourself up, shake yourself off, and get busy. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 said, all diligence. And that is a very comprehensive statement. Christians can become lazy about their Christian life. In the Corinthian letter, Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When you look at the Corinthian church, you find that they had a number of problems, and one of the issues was the willingness to tolerate sexual sin. There was a man who was involved with his father's wife, and the Corinthians were not willing to deal with that. So Paul told them in the 1 Corinthian letter that that was a problem. By the time we get to the second letter, we find in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11, that the Corinthians had become careful, or they had become earnest about immorality. That is, they had developed a type of enthusiasm. And he's not saying in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11, that they were cheering this guy on. Rather, he's saying that there was a renewed passion. There was a renewed interest or zeal about trying to do the will of God at Corinth. It seems like things were really starting to turn around. Actually, if you have flipped over there, I want to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Paul says, "But as ye abound in everything," things were starting to go pretty well, "in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Some things were really beginning to turn around. Paul told the Corinthians that they were zealous in so many ways. He said, "You have some good things as far as faith, utterance, knowledge, and love." But he also knew that things were not perfect. He also recognized that at this congregation, there were still some areas wherein the Corinthians were not doing well. And you may remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in the 9th chapter, Paul talks about money and giving. And even though they were doing pretty well in some areas, there were some other areas, specifically in the area of finances, where they had lost some of their enthusiasm. And today, the same kind of thing can happen with the people of God. We can excel in a wide number of areas as far as the Christian life is concerned. We may be enthusiastic about many things. And even though we're doing well in a number of areas, we may get to one particular area that is related to Christianity, and we just kind of put on the brakes. In other words, we're going to do well on this side of the ledger, but God, there are a couple things over here. Well, that's just not our strength, and we're just going to leave that to some other folks. But Paul said, no, that's not right. There may be some areas wherein you're not the strongest by the time you come to the end of the life, but there's no area that we can disregard. Helpful passage in this regard is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. This also has the same word that is used by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And it's also a letter that was written to some people who had some problems, some pretty serious problems. In Hebrews 6, 11, the writer lets these Christians know that he was thinking about them and he had good thoughts about them. "And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of the hope, even unto the end." Some parts of the Christian life may seem absolutely natural to us. There may be some things in life that we feel like we simply do not need to work on that hard because they're just items that come without much work. For example, there may be a person who says, "For me, Bible study is just not a difficulty. I do that 7 days a week. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to be prompted to it. That is a natural part of my life." For another person, prayer may be a natural thing for them. But every Christian has at least one area where they are going to struggle a little bit. An important principle from Hebrews 6:11 is this. We want to find out those areas wherein we're strong, the areas that seem natural for us, and stay with those. Continue to do well in those areas. And then when we find the areas wherein we struggle, then those are the places where we want to use the same level of diligence, Hebrews 6:11, so we can become stronger there as well. And if we do that, we're going to be people who truly please God. Peter really believed that. Moving back to what we have in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, we not only have the reference in 2 Peter 1:5, but also we find that this word is used a little later in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. And here's what he says in that passage. "Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never stumble." Peter says, I want you to give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. He says, give more diligence in this regard. What would happen if as we went through our daily lives, we closed our eyes every day and tried to perform our daily tasks? Well, we wouldn't get very far. We would stumble, we would fall, and some of us would probably be dead before we got out the front door. Peter says if we're going to live the Christian life, we need to have our eyes open. We need to be diligent as we look at our Christian life. We need to approach it with zest, with zeal, and passion. The apostle said, make your calling and your election sure. And you know, that's significant. He didn't say, check out your neighbor. He could have said that, but he said, you make your calling, your election sure. He didn't say, see if the fellow across the street or across the pew has their calling and their election sure. His instruction involves our own lives, and most have plenty of dust in their own spiritual closet. And Peter said, be diligent in this regard. We are to look at our own lives on a regular basis and see what's there. What are our strengths? Where are our faults? Where should we have done better in the past? Wherein have the successes been in the past, and how are we doing at the present? Have we really used our abilities in the best possible way? Are we really trying to live the best type of Christian life that we can? Are we diligent? Are we using that earnestness, that passion, that zeal, that zest every single day of our lives? We know the answer to that question. if we're not diligent, then chances are we're going to struggle with the Christian graces that we hope to begin studying next week. But this morning we simply start with that first word. Are we a diligent Christian? We hope so. If you've never become a Christian, then you're not a diligent Christian. And the process begins by faith. We've got to believe, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without that, we're lost. If we're not willing to live our life as a Christian, we're not willing to repent, then again, we're certainly not going to be diligent. That's another step. How can we be a diligent person if we've never confessed Christ as the Son of God? And we certainly cannot be diligent about the business of God if we've never had our sins forgiven. And the Bible says in Acts 2, verse 38, that for those who are willing to believe, they can repent, they can be baptized, and that will allow forgiveness of sins. And then we begin to apply that diligence in the Christian life. Have we become a Christian by the procedure that we find in the Scriptures and mentioned a moment ago? And are we continuing to live a diligent Christian life? If not, and this morning we can help you in either of those respects or some other way, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.